The Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great sponsors like our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now I'm glancing down and we're in the 20s, people, 29 days until the Wine and Dine half marathon weekend, so get that training in. And every time you glance down at your miles to check your pace to see how far you have gone, you can also check out how many days you have to go till that next trip. You're going to get lots of great pictures, audio alerts. You can customize it. You can even share on Facebook. It's a great way to turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Download this and other great iPhone apps over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1076 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks so much for dropping in. It is time to answer more of your listener questions. Keep sending those in to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. So joining me today from down in the wonderful city of Atlanta in the southeast, from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. How's it going, Ricky?
Just enjoying that gorgeous fall weather that we've been having, which, you know, fall weather for us is like, you know, low 80s, high 70s, which I am perfectly okay with. So just enjoying sitting outside and reading and having an awesome day. So it's been great.
You got to get busier. If you have time for all that stuff, come on now. Who has time for all that? You got to, you know, you should be doing more.
Oh, trust me. I have lots of things that I can and should be doing. But, you know, sometimes you just got to have a day to rest and recharge.
All right. I don't know what that means, but I'll take your word for it. All right. Well, Pam is out at sea. She's out on Oasis of the Seas doing a little training with the team from the Magic for Less travel. So we have a pinch hitter from the southwest corner of our state here in the Show Me State of Missouri. You know him from Wedway Radio and the Wedway Now podcast, Matt Parrish. Welcome to the show, Matt. How's it going?
Yay! Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me, buddy. Hope you guys are doing good.
Doing great. You know, it's been a not so great past weekend here in the Show Me State, but what can you say? I guess it's football season officially. You know, Mizzou got crushed, but I think Kentucky's up next, so we can
Brian,
bounce back.
It's hockey. Hockey season is where Brian's all at. He said that's where he's going. So hockey and basketball is where he's at now.
Well, at least
I'll be real. This is going to be a pretty relaxing October for me. I don't have to worry about the Cardinals winning the World Series, and I don't have to worry about the Royals winning the World Series.
That's true. It was not so bad for you. But what can we? I saw a tweet, though, that this is the first World Series since 2013. There won't be a Missouri representative, so that's something.
That's kind of sad. Yeah, that is kind of sad.
But let's talk some Disney here. You know, at least I'm not a Georgia fan at this point. I couldn't have taken that on Saturday, so I feel that for Brian.
Oh, wah, wah.
That was because I turned it off. I was like all mad. Then I was like, I went back in. I'm like, I was in the kitchen actually grabbing something, and I was like, I think they're playing Rocky Top. And I was like, how can they be playing Rocky Top? They lost. And I went back in. They won. What happened? Because I walked out of the room. Anyway, we're not here to talk football. I can do that all day, but we're going to answer your listener questions. So let's get to a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party question. And this one comes from Stacy Hayes and says, hello, Mike. We will be at the World October 8th through the 11th for our first Halloween party. We'll be attending the party on Monday the 10th. We will have a 2-day park hopper ticket for use on Sunday and Tuesday. How can I be sure when entering for the party on Monday that it only uses our party ticket and not our other park ticket? I hope this makes sense. Thanks for all you do to bring the Disney to us every day. All right, Ricky. So I guess what he's asking, let me throw this one to you because you go to the parties frequently. I know. So he's got his Magic Your Way tickets and he's got his Halloween party ticket. And he wants to make sure that they're not pulling from the Magic Your Way ticket. They're going for the hard ticket. So how does that work upon entering the park for, like the Halloween party or even the Christmas party? It's the same procedure.
Gosh, you know, I haven't done it through that. But I would assume that if you're entering after 4 o'clock, it would pull the party ticket because you can't enter the park until 4 o'clock anyway. So I'm going to assume that it sees that there's a party ticket on there and it will pull that ticket.
And is that recall?
You also can't.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, you also can't enter the park with a traditional day ticket for a hard ticket event.
Right.
That's a good point. True. And I think they typically have, like, over to the right, there's almost an entrance that's exclusively for park or for party goers, because that's where, you know, they kind of have a sign set up. Well, at least the last couple times I've gone, it's over to the right, and they kind of guide the people who have the party tickets that way upon entering the park. So I think you're fine. And like, also you can verify as you pass through the touch points. There's lots of cast members milling around back there. Some of them have iPads. Just tell them you have a concern. They can look right then because they can see that you just scanned in, and they can make sure, yep, but use your hard ticket. You still have 2 days left on your Magic Your Way ticket. So that, you know, if you just want to feel better the rest of the night, that's what I would do. All righty, let's go to the next question. It's from Allie. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. First of all, I just want to say thanks for always adding some Disney magic to my work week. I'm a total Disney nerd from New Hampshire and obsess over Disney World planning, so your podcast is just what I need to get me through the week. Since I grew up on the East Coast, Disney World is my home park, but this year I'm planning a trip to Disneyland. Most of my extended family lives in California, so I have been to Disneyland a handful of times, but this year I'm planning a special trip. My younger sister, who attends college in Southern California, will be turning 21 in October. My brother and I will be flying out to surprise her for her birthday and spending a weekend with her. Being a family of Disney nerds, we have decided to take her to Disneyland for her 21st birthday. We are only going for one day and have bought a park hopper because we know we can only drink in California Adventure. I was wondering if you had any tips on great bars or restaurants to celebrate her 21st in true Disney fashion. I know Disneyland isn't your focus, but I thought it'd be a great question for others planning occasions at Disneyland. Thank you all so much for bringing Disney magic into my day. Hopefully next time I'll be at the World, I can catch one of your meetups. All the best. All right, so we brought in a Disneyland expert. So Matt, turning 21 out at Disneyland. I know you go out there more than I.
It's like we knew.
I know. It's like we had this planned. But what might you offer Allie for this 21st birthday celebration out at Disneyland?
All right, so obviously at Disneyland, you're not going to be able to get a hard drink or an adult beverage, I guess you could say. But at California Adventure, there's going to be a couple of different ways that you can do that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they still have vendors in the Paradise Pier area, like where you can get just like a beer or whatever. But there's also a couple of places that you can stop, and you get put me on the spot. I'm trying to think of the name of the winery.
I know exactly what you're thinking of. But the Trattoria is, I think, part of Wine Country Trattoria or something like that.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Yeah, that's it, Trattoria.
Yeah, and then there's also the Cove Bar, which supposedly they have really good lobster nachos, but it's really hard to get in there. I know that.
I think, you know, to be honest with you, like, even though it's outside of the park, I think if you went to Trader Sam's, you would you would be happy with that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Hands down, go to Trader Sam's.
And that's right next to the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's an easy walk. Yeah. You can walk there so easy and then walk back to Disneyland. So
that's not fair.
Yeah, and that's true. You could go to Disneyland during the day or DCA or whatever you wanted to do. And then in the evening hours or the night hours, you can still go to Trader Sam's, or you can go to one of many of the restaurants in downtown Disney. It's all like a 5-minute walk.
Man, that's such an advantage of Disneyland. I just cannot wait to get out there because I've heard about it. I've seen pictures. I've seen videos. You know, I've seen the physical layout of the place. But I think just for somebody that's been to Walt Disney World so many times, when I get out there, I'm going to be like, this is incredible how easy things are to maneuver out there. It just sounds like such an advantage.
It's small, but when you leave the park, though, and you leave downtown Disney, like, it's done. Like, that's the best part about Walt Disney World. Yeah. Is like, when you leave the Magic Kingdom, you've got all this other stuff that you can check out. That's not true of Disneyland.
Yeah, it's true. And so our chat here live on Facebook's offering the Carthay Circle Lounge as well as another option you might want to check out.
And that's one of the newer options there is one that opened with the refurbishment of California Adventure. That's a great suggestion. That's a good one.
All right. Well, let's get to the next question. It comes from, it doesn't say, it's from Ricky on our Facebook page. So they didn't leave their name. So I've been a runner for about, I know it's not from you, Ricky, because the first sentence is, I've been a runner for about 12 years. So, not you, right? Nope. All right. I used to play college soccer and have done about 4 5Ks and 1 half marathon in 2012. My mom has never run. She's excited but very nervous. I'm trying to start her out by jogging for about 10 seconds and walking for a few minutes and repeating. She walks fairly regularly. What do you think are some good ways to get her excited and confident to start this journey to do a 5K or a 10K at Disney? With us planning to go to the Wine and Dine event, we have over a year to prepare. I've also heard that the event is hard to get into. Any tips? Can I sign both of us up at the same time? Would you have to register separately? I wouldn't want one of us to get in and not the other. Thanks, Amanda. Okay, so it's from Amanda. I didn't see that. All right, so let's hop into this. Matt, I know you do some running too, and I believe you're training for your first marathon, correct?
I am, man, and it's, I don't know, it's not going that great.
I loved your tweet, your message the other day. You're like, I'm hurting in places I didn't know I could hurt or something like that. It's so true of running.
I've never had a hurt hip before. Like, a hip? Really? Oh, not man. Even 40.
You're getting old.
I was on a 15-mile training run this past Saturday, and it, like mile 13, both hips simultaneously started to hurt. So I was thinking I was, like my stride was wrong or something. That's why both hips hurt. So I couldn't compensate because it hurt both ways. It was not pretty. I kind of limped into the last two. But so let's get to her question here. So I think you're doing the greatest thing right there, Amanda, with your mom is, if she's a regular walker, let her do some walking. Just, just jog whenever you can and build up a little bit of endurance. Make the walks just slightly shorter, make the runs slightly longer. I still do run, walk, run all the time. And, it's a great way to not make it so intimidating of a distance. And the thing about a 5K at Disney, I would start with a 5K, is that it's not timed. You're just out there to have a good time. Everybody's going to finish. Everybody's going to get a medal. Disney has upped the game now with, those medals, as Mary Jo Collins calls them, right, Matt, on your show?
Medals.
So, know, it's a really great keepsake. It's a great memory you're going to have with your mom, and it's a good excuse to get down to a Disney park over a great weekend like Wine and Dine or any of the other race weekends. Ricky, I know that you've kind of taken that journey and jumped in to run Disney, so what would you offer Amanda?
Yeah, no, exactly what she said. I absolutely would do the walk run method. That's what I do. I, usually run for about 10 seconds, 10 to 15, and then walk for the rest of it, rest of that minute, and then, run another 10 to 15 and then walk the rest of the minute. So that's exactly how I would do it and what I have done and how I've actually run a half marathon. So that's my suggestion. And they're doing the right thing. That just slow and steady wins the race.
That's absolutely it. And the whole thing is it's mental too, because I can tell myself, even at a distance of 26 miles or doing something like the Dopey, where on Sunday you're just whipped already before you even, take the first mile. But I can tell myself I can run for 1 minute. I just have to do that many times over. I don't have to run for 5 hours straight. Cause if I had to mentally do that, I'd be like, no way, Mike, forget it. But I can do 1 minute and then I get to take a little break and then I get to do another minute. So I think mentally that's going to really help your mom. And I think it's helped many, many people that Galloway method. As far as signing up for the races, fortunately, this is trending in a better direction for folks that want to sign up for races. 2 or 3 years ago, it was insane. I mean, to get into some of these races and the challenges, and especially the 5Ks are getting more popular because now they have the medals. And, this is a great introductory distance and a lot of people want to try this for the first time. But you have to be on the day of registration. At the time it starts, it's usually around noontime central, 11 or 1 o'clock on the East Coast, I think. But check rundisney.com. They'll give you all that time. You can sign up for reminders and all that stuff. But you need to, what I do is I mean, I'll have multiple devices out, and I even have multiple friends that actually have they have my credit card information, and they're trying to help sign me up too. Cause a lot of times, like you said, I'm signing up myself. I'm signing up Mallory and Pam for the 5Ks. I'm signing up Paige for other races. It's ridiculous. Like, it's like mission control. So you're probably going to get in as long as you're there at like the 0 hour. But if you wait like till the next day, it could be a little bit dicey. Now, lately, there's been a lot of openings, but you just never know. With the 5Ks are getting more popular. Ricky, what have you seen as far as the trends? I mean, is this about right? I mean, it seems like it's getting a little bit easier to get into these races because the prices are so high, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that the races are becoming much easier to get into. The challenges are a little, you know, selling out a little bit more, but the individual races themselves seem to be slowing down a little bit. And yeah, I think the price is prohibiting a lot of people from, you know, doing the races. And, you know, it's a lot of money overall. So I think people are like, well, I could spend my money doing this, or I could do a 5K, 10K, half at home and save the money and go to Disney another time. So, or, you know, whatever. So, I do think that the races are slowing down in speed of, you know, like you said, a couple years ago, it was like, oh my gosh, this race sold out in an hour and that was it. So I think it's definitely slowing down a lot. So that's good. You should be just fine.
Yeah. I think that's bad for Run Disney though, because a lot of times I have signed up for races that, you know, I'm really on the fence, you know, like especially like the Dopey I'm doing in 2017. I wasn't real sure. I did it once, you know, and that was really good enough. You know, like I got the medal, I had the experience. I'm like, that's good enough.
Right.
But then, you know, I got into, you know, that day when it was registration, and like, you know, that it's going to sell out that day. So it's like, you know, you're in one of those situations where it's now or never. And it's like, oh, I don't want to regret that I didn't do it, and everybody else is doing it, you know, and it was, you know, now I'm doing it. And not that I'm sad that I'm doing it, because I'm doing it with a lot of friends, but you know, it's like one of those things. If you're not sure, almost I had to go for it because I wouldn't have the opportunity later.
Well, and you don't want to hear this, but I think the Dopey is still open.
It is. So. It is because Paige put in her request. She has transferred her marathon to a Dopey now. So apparently Paige is going to be running it too.
Yeah, she's doing Dopey?
Yeah, that's if she gets in. I know. Tell me. She's not right. She's in way, I mean, she's 19. I mean, there's no, like, you know, it's 50-50 shot. I die doing the thing. You know, she's in good shape and we'll be fine. Yeah, so, I mean, not that why you're worried about Paige doing it. She's a soccer player. Come on. All right. So, Matt, I know you haven't done any Run Disney events, but is there any that kind of intrigue you, or, you know, where do you fall with Run Disney?
I did the Castaway Key 5K.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
The Jungle Survival Challenge. Like,
you feel it's like you're never getting out. It's actually really humid out there.
Very hot. Yeah, it is. Awful.
Very hot.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this was the wrong idea.
Bad choices by Matt.
Luckily, there was a beach right next to the finish line. You know what? I love running. I do. I run all the time, but I don't. Here's the deal. Like, we don't mix running and vacation. It's a weird thing at my house. Like, I want to do that, but then I'm like, you know, I'd probably be better off. My kid is 5. My wife doesn't really want to watch me go run somewhere. So we don't normally do Run Disney events, honestly.
That's smart. There'll be time. You know, your kids will grow up and you'll have to do a 5K together. And that's kind of fun, you know, because as Mallory's gotten a little bit older, she's really enjoyed jumping in. She actually did those little kid races over at Wide World of Sports where they would do, you know, like one lap around the track, or even they have the little bitty guys and girls that do like a straightaway, like 100 meters, you know, and they get a little medal, and it's, they got the characters cheering them on. It is kind of a cool thing. I mean, it's expensive. I wish it wasn't so expensive, but it is kind of a neat environment for families. So I'll give Run Disney that. But, you know, someday, Matt, I'll bet you be towing that line.
I want to. I think I've promised a few people that I would do it, like, in 2018, but I have to get there first, mentally.
That's good point. All right, next question. Let's see, here comes from Lauren. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I wanted to respond to the question asked about ordering Ohana from room service at the Polynesian. It's called the Polynesian Twilight Feast. We ordered it during our recent visit in August, and it was amazing. It is $40 per order, but honestly, 3 of us adults ate from one order, and we still had some leftovers.
Oh.
Everything comes at once. Nice try, Ricky. No one was standing outside waiting to give us more. Remember that, Ricky? You said there was a butler.
I think I know what
you heard. So. Len was talking about on the cruise line, I think. There's a butler for concierge.
Maybe that's what it was. I was confusing them.
You weren't paying attention. Right. You were blogging while you were listening. I know how you roll.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, no one's standing outside to give us more, and you can eat in any order you would like. It was a little hard to put everything out with a limited table space, but we just ate on the floor picnic style. I highly recommend ordering it if you're staying at the Polynesian. Thanks, Lauren. So, Matt, I mean, as I'm thinking about this, because we've gone to Ohana a few times, and it's expensive. It's not a cheap meal there. I mean, if you're getting the whole shebang for $40 and they got 3 people eating, that's a steal. I mean, that's like a Ricky plan.
That's a steal.
Yeah, that's a great deal at Walt Disney World. Are you kidding me? Are they bringing it all at once, you said?
Yes.
I guess. I mean, I guess they bring all the meats and all the sides, and I don't know, maybe they bring the desserts too. I mean, if that's the case, that's a hidden gem down at Walt Disney World. If you're staying there, you're crazy not to do that.
That's really awesome. Like, I to be honest with you, I'd never even heard of this. Like, we most of the time we eat inside the park or we go to Downtown Disney or whatever. So I got to check this out. I've been to Ohana a few times, but I don't get to stay at the Polynesian nearly as much as I would like.
No, I never have. But yeah, that's a shame. I'd have to be staying there to get it. Yeah, Ricky, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it was coming. Ricky's like, yeah, I stay there in the Grand Floridian. I just stay on the monorail loop. That's how you roll, well, Ricky. I know. It's been tough.
They have so many offers. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, they have so many offerings now when you stay at one of the Seven Seas Lagoon resorts that they did not have in the 90s, because we stayed, when I was a kid, at Grand Floridian, Polynesian, Contemporary like 5 times. And they didn't have any of those things. Like, the only thing that was really, really good was the Contemporary had the Fiesta Fun Center, which was down where the Wave restaurant is now. It was a 24-hour arcade, but that's it.
Nice. I've heard you guys talk about that, and I'm so envious that I never got to see that, because I came, you know, to the Disney, you know, fandom so late in the game. But, man, that, you know, just that the Vacation Kingdom stuff that you guys talk about on Wedway, I just, like, oh, I wish I could have experienced some of that.
It was really cool. It was a great time. I mean, obviously, Disney in the 90s was just amazing. Actually, we're doing a show, our Disney List show, on Disney in the 90s right now. And because it was so good, like, they opened so many new attractions and all this new restaurants. But the little extra offerings, like, all of that stuff is, like, in the last decade. And I really like it.
Yeah, I love those. I thought it was going to be like a top 10 list or something, but I like how you're just throwing it out there and like, man, I didn't know that was some of the things. I'm like, I can't believe those are that old. And some of those things, I'm like, they started those in the 90s. I thought those were from the, early 80s, but it was really interesting to hear how things came in, because, when I teach history in social studies, because I'm a teacher, I spend a lot of time talking about, okay, this was happening here in North America, but let's look at what was happening concurrently in Europe, because I think when you make those parallels, and you could do that with Disney too. I mean, you could really do that with kind of World and Land. Like, while this was happening at World in the 90s, what was going on at Disneyland? Was it being neglected, or were they, was it kind of neat that they were doing two similar things at the same time? We just don't realize looking back on those things.
It's super cool to look at. And I credit Disney for opening up, I think, the world to new experiences at night. Like, we recently talked about a film preview that was going on at Fort Wilderness. That never would have happened 25 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
No way.
All right. Oh, check this out. I have not looked at the emails ahead of time. Well, I mean, I get them and I throw them in a folder. This next question is from Ethan in Sydney. They're in Branson, Missouri. What's up? They're neighbors.
We're neighbors.
That's crazy. Hey, Mike and all the BOGP crew, love the show and listen often. My fiance and I are planning our honeymoon to the world. Well, I should say I am. Haha. We are looking at staying at a Good Neighbor Hotel 6 or 7 days and driving down from Branson, Missouri, which I think suits our budget better. Do you have any suggestions, tips, or any other useful info? It's been a few years since we've been to Walt Disney World and couldn't be more excited about returning. Thanks for everything. All right, Ricky, let's start off there with you. So they're honeymooning down there. They want to kind of stay at an offsite hotel, or maybe just kind of looks like they're looking for like budget accommodations and driving down from Branson. So what might you suggest they start to think about when it comes to planning that honeymoon?
I think that they want to stay offsite. So one of the places that I'm going to suggest is to consider staying actually at the Disney Springs Resort area. There are quite a few hotels in that area that are still kind of value priced, but you still get that feeling of being kind of on Disney property because you are on Disney property. So, we've stayed there at the Wyndham before and had a great time. And it's literally a walk to Disney Springs. Like, you can literally walk across the bridge. So you still have that awesome feel of being in the mix while being close by, but, not staying at a Disney resort. So that's the first thing I'm going to say. And the second thing, good luck on the drive. That's all I can say, because that is that's a long drive. So I would suggest, I know Mike didn't do this, but I would suggest splitting it into, a couple days if your budget or time allows, because it's going to be tough to do all that at once.
So Matt, what do you have? I mean, you've driven, right, from like Kansas City or Southwest Missouri?
Yeah, I've actually done that same Branson drive. And so my suggestion is exactly what Ricky said. I broke my trip up into, you could either stay the night in like Paducah, Kentucky, and then do like the next full day, or do one full day and probably stay in like Valdosta, Georgia, which is like Georgia, Florida line there. Not the band.
No, definitely not the band.
Not the terrible country group. No. And then it's like a 4-hour drive the next morning, which is awesome. So I think either of those, like stopping early and going long the next day, or going long one day and stopping late. The other thing is like off property. It's a weird thing. Like the Wyndham, if you can get it under like $80 a night, then you're beating the All-Star prices. But right. if you can't, you might as well spend the 10 extra dollars per night and stay at an All-Star, and then you get every Disney accommodation that there is.
That's true.
And you know, that's exactly what I was going to say, Matt. Look for, if you're flexible in when you can, and of course I know that you, I don't know if they've set a wedding date and all that yet, but if you can work it to where you can get down there in, say, September or February, or, you know, those less crowded times of the year, you can get a sweet discount. And you're talking, like you said, maybe 10, 15 bucks a night difference. And you're going to get, you won't need Magical Express, but you're going to get things like extra magic hours. You know, you're going to be kind of immersed in the magic 24/7. And I think that's, you know, you sound like you're a big Disney fan, and this is a big deal. And, you know, I just wouldn't want you to regret not being on site for, you know, 15 bucks a night. And the thing I've heard a lot of folks do is that there's actually, and I don't know exactly what it's called, Ricky, maybe you know, but it's kind of like a wedding registry where people can, you know, like basically donate money, you know, as like a wedding gift towards certain experiences, or, you know, your hotel for a Disney wedding. I know that that goes, I think it goes through Disney Weddings, but you don't have to plan an official Disney wedding to use it. Ricky, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, no, I've heard about it, but I don't 100%, like, I haven't ever played with it if it's on Disney Weddings or anything. But I have heard of people doing that before, so that you can, I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find it. So, but I'm not 100% sure on it right now.
It's like the wedding planning show. What's up? Feels like the old days, Ricky.
Yeah, it is.
That's you it. Know,
over in the Crossroads District, which is right next to like where the Wyndham is and where Downtown Disney is, or Disney Springs, there's also like motels in that area and like an Embassy Suites or two. And some of them aren't really that bad. Like I've stayed in a lot of those when I was just there for the weekend or something. And those were fine for that. I think if it was my honeymoon, though, I would spend the extra 10 or 15 or 20 a night and just get on Disney property. And then there's just so much more Disney when you're there. I mean, just the details and all that stuff is just so much better.
But I think you can get like 3 awesome t-shirts for 10 bucks over by the Crossroads, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
I've just seen it driving by. That there's a big souvenir shop that you can see from I-4. It's like 3 Disney t-shirts for 10 bucks. Like, what a
steal.
It's like
3 stories tall, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, it's big. I got neon.
You know what? He's from Branson. He'll love that.
Yes, there you go.
That's all they have.
We just lost another listener. Thanks, Matt. All right. Well,
who knows what I'm talking about?
All right. This is what happens when we have Matt on the show. That's we lose it. Listeners. Yeah.
All right. Next question comes from Christopher Shaw. He says, hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'll be taking a solo trip to Walt Disney World for a week after Thanksgiving of 2016. I have some questions about charging to your resort room. Is there a credit limit each day, and does it vary based on your resort type? I'll be staying in a value resort. Once you reach the limit, will the hotel automatically charge the credit card on file, or will I have to go to the front desk to pay down my balance? During my stay, the question mark's kind of in a weird place. During my stay, can I check the balance that has been charged to the room online, or will I have to go to the front desk to view the charges? Thanks for the great podcast and all of the great shows, Christopher. All right, so I haven't checked this lately, but I'm sure it's still the case. He's exactly right. I think there's a credit limit, and it is kind of like almost like a caste system. Like the values is lower than the moderates, and the moderates is lower than the deluxes. You know, it's like you have a smaller credit limit. Now, I want to say, Ricky, do you happen to know the levels? I'm going to say it's like $500 maybe at the values, like $1,000 at the moderates, and maybe something bigger at the deluxes. I don't stay there much.
Yeah, I want to say, I think it's, if I remember right, I think it's like $500 at the values, but I don't remember what it is at the moderates or deluxe. But yes, there is a limit that you have, and then they'll charge your card.
Yeah, so when you hit that limit, that's exactly right. Like you said, it will charge the card. And to check your balance, though, there's unfortunately, it's not like a cruise ship where you can just kind of turn on the TV and see your balance that I know of. I know you got to go down to the front desk and they can tell you where you stand. And they can actually, you know, say you're at $450. And you have a $500 credit limit, you know, just have them hit it right there. And then you go back to zero. So you got $500 for the next day. You know, if you're going to I don't know, buy one of those Lego sets on, you know, the Emporium or something for $1 million. I don't know. So, right. Matt, do you have anything for that one? Because, again, I haven't, we try not to charge too much. And if I do, I try to use my rewards points for my Disney Visa. So it's fake money in my mind.
What's the question specifically?
Just about the different resort types having different credit limits as far as charging back to the room. I think that's the case, but we don't know the official number, I don't think.
Yeah, it's definitely the case, and I think whoever suggested the tiered credit limits, I think that's where it goes. Like, if you're at Bay Lake Towers, I think, and you're there doing it mostly on credit, I'm pretty sure it's wide open.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, at least
please spend money.
Yeah, they want the
exactly.
money.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't want you to stop. All right, next is John. He's in West Virginia. BOGP crew, thanks for all the info that you guys share. It makes the planning phase of our trips much easier, and I love keeping up with all the news and strategies during my commute. Our 180-day ADR date for our March trip is right around the corner. I was wondering if the Pirates League and Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservations could be made like ADRs at 180 days from the start of our trip, or if they had to be made 180 days from the appointment. Thanks, John. All right, Ricky, so what do you think on this one? So he's asking like the 180-day plus 10 rule. You know how when you check in, so at 180 days, say you're staying for 10 nights, you can actually make your ADRs 189 days out because you can actually go to the end of your trip, which is a good strategy if you're looking for like Be Our Guest or Ohana or I'm trying to think Cinderella's Royal Table. If you can do this, use the plus 10 to your advantage because there's less people that have the opportunity to go for those days towards the end of your vacation. You'll have a much better chance of getting that. Now, Ricky, do you know if Pirates League and Bibbidi Bobbidi go that same way? I don't think they do, but what do you know?
I honestly have no idea. I say, you know, call and, you know, if when you're at that 180-day plus 10 mark and see if they'll let you make the reservation. And if not, call back at the 180 days from when you want to make the reservation for. So I really don't know 100%. And, you know, unfortunately, I could have texted Kim Taylor and asked her because I'm sure she would have known. But I don't know that I would have gotten an answer in time. So... But yeah,
we'll find out.
I just need to call and find out. Yeah.
It, you know, that's a good strategy though, because if you call it 180 days plus 10, you're not going to miss anything, you know, and you may get lucky and
right.
it can happen, but then, you know, okay, now I know to call it exactly 180. And so good strategy. All right. Next question comes from Tanya. She's in Grapevine, Texas. We're heading to Walt Disney World in January and we'll be celebrating the kids' birthdays. My daughter, who will be turning 9, has been talking nonstop about eating at the Poly. However, she is not interested in what's on their menus. After some digging, we discovered that she is really after having a drink from a pineapple. I had to make sure I read that correctly. I was wondering if Tanya was wanting the drink from the pineapple or if the little girl is. Apparently the little girl. Where are some locations around property that have pineapple drinks? Our arrival day will not include the parks, but we do plan to visit the boardwalk for ice cream at Ample Hills. Great call. And pin traders at Disney Springs to start them off with their first pin trading sets. Any suggestions in these areas? We think we will have a car. Thanks. Love the podcast. Tanya. Ricky, this is so you. Get on touring plans. This is a great ad for touring plans, Lines app, because I always say we can find, you know, if you're looking for a pretzel in the park, it'll tell you where to get it and how much it costs. Okay. Pineapple drink or beverages out of a pineapple that a 9-year-old can drink, Ricky.
Okay,
this is a good one. No, I'm just saying you don't have to type it in, but
I may be wrong, but I don't think there are any. The only drink that I know that you can get out of a pineapple is at the Tambu Lounge, and that's only alcoholic, as far as I know. So, you could go down to the Pineapple Lanai and get a Dole Whip. That's the closest thing to pineapple flavor you're going to get. But I don't think that there's any drinks that she can get out of a pineapple. I'm sorry.
I think if you go to the Tambu Lounge and ask for a drink, Shirley Temple.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe. Yeah.
They will probably give it to you in the pineapple.
They might. If you ask and you say, hey, this is something that she really wants, they may oblige, but I can't guarantee it. And I don't know of any non-alcoholic drinks served in the pineapple offhand. So they might be able to oblige with a Shirley Temple, though.
And the funniest thing would be the other guests that are walking by, just watching your daughter drink out of a pineapple around the Tambu Lounge. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. At least the Tambu Lounge is like kind of in an open, isn't it still like in that open like lobby space?
Yeah.
So it won't be as weird, I don't think, for you to go up and ask, since it's kind of in the lobby anyway. It's not like going into a bar and like having to go to the bar. It should be easier than that.
All I can picture is Sweet Home Alabama, where she's like, "You brought a baby into a bar?"
Right.
All right, time for the last question of the day. Let's get to it here. Alyssa's got it. She's high BOGPT. My family and I are headed to Walt Disney World this October. We're arriving on Saturday, October 29th, and staying for 8 nights with a split stay at the Beach Club and the Boardwalk. Our group includes me, my husband, my mom, and our 2-year-old daughter. We decided not to do Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year because of the extra costs, my daughter's age, and the crowd levels on Halloween weekend. So we are adding it to a list for a later trip when our daughter is older. Here's our question. Since we will be there on Halloween night itself, do you have any suggestions other than the party? Are there any other parks, attractions, or hotels that might fit in the Halloween theme? I know nothing will compare to the party at the Magic Kingdom, but any tips or ideas would help. Absolutely love listening to the podcast. It gets me through my workday. Thanks again for your help, Alyssa. She's in Boston, Massachusetts. All right, Ricky, what about Disney Springs? Would they have kind of trick-or-treating out there, maybe?
No, not anymore. Dang. They don't do trick-or-treating. They haven't done it for years, actually. The only thing like Halloween-y that I would say is, I mean, yeah, they could go to Disney Springs and I'm sure that they will have some entertainment that's kind of fun and stuff like that. Actually, I saw posted on Twitter this week was they had some band
The zombie drummers. Like, I saw that. I was like, that's
what
interesting.
On earth is that? So anyway, they may have some entertainment like that. The only other thing I can personally think of would be, and your 2-year-old can't do this, but it's really cool to ride Tower of Terror on Halloween, because I've done that before. But other than that, I got nothing.
So Matt, what would you do if you were there on Halloween, but just wanted to forego the party? Anything you can think of?
That's a great question. And I've actually been there on Halloween, but I did the party. So it's hard for me to know. You know, Disney, I bet... I'm trying to think of where you could call to see if they're doing something special for that. Because generally, if you ask someone to do something special for you on Halloween, they might do it. But I don't think there's any other like group activities. So like if you're at a restaurant, they might have. Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, I don't know if they do like a scary one, but you could do like a carriage ride at like Port Orleans
or Fort Wilderness, that'd be even better.
Or Fort Wilderness, or you could do the campfire s'mores.
Oh yeah, campfire s'mores. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not like spooky scary, but you know they may do. I don't know if they'll do like ghost stories or something. Like especially at the Chip and Dale one at Fort Wilderness. I don't know if they'll do something like spooky or creepy for that, or you know, fun, not scary, but that might be an option.
Oh, I think I got it, though. Here's what you do, and I bet you, I don't know this for sure, but knowing how the environment is over there, I bet you could trick-or-treat at the campsites over at Fort Wilderness, because those people put out all the decorations. I've run through there at Halloween time. I mean, they decorate those, especially like the big campers, like the RVs. They decorate them just like houses. And a lot of them I saw had like candy buckets out, so that even like it wasn't even Halloween day, but like you could take like they had like Kit Kats and, you know, hard candies and stuff kind of outside their RV. So I bet you those people maybe are there that night. Maybe people trick or treat around Fort Wilderness. I can't say they would, but it'd be fun just to go over. I mean, it wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, at the very least, you could see. I mean, I'm sure people decorate like crazy because they do for Christmas. So I'm sure Halloween would be no exception. So just to explore the Fort Wilderness campgrounds, I think that would be a lot of fun. You're right. Absolutely. Even if they weren't handing out candy.
You just take it. No, you bring your own. Yeah. I mean, how old's the kid?
Oh, you have free hot dogs. Wait.
the girl's only 2 years old. You know what? I mean, she doesn't know how Halloween works yet. You know, you just slide her a Kit Kat every now and then. It's all good. You know, I don't think you really need to worry about it until they're like 5. You know, then they start figuring things out and you got to play by the rules, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, maybe take a little cruise through suburban Orlando and do a little trick or treating. You could.
Yeah, celebration. You know what? Just become a resident for a night. I'm sure that never happens there at those planned communities. I know here in St. Louis, we have a couple planned communities, and it's it seems like the whole population of the greater St. Louis area, you know, descends on those places for Halloween. It's nuts.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for dropping in and helping us with the questions. What do you guys have coming up here in the next few weeks on Wedway Radio and Wedway Now?
So Wedway Radio, I think we're going to finish up the first half of this season 8, and then it'll go on hiatus for a little bit while we square away interviews and stuff for the next half of the season. And then Wedway Now, you know, we've opened it up a little bit more. We're doing some series on the show. We do the 3028, which is a little like old school Wedway Radio, where we kind of dive into a Disney history topic. And then we've also got some series that we're launching with lists. And then also we got Brad Hughes from the Daily Disney blog, and he's now taking us into Walt Disney World to talk about things that are being updated. He's literally walking around the park and talking to us on the other end.
That's awesome. That's great.
That was awesome. I heard that this week. Yeah, it was really neat. Yeah.
So we're pumped. Yeah, we got a lot of cool things working. And of course, Kevin Quigley has been helping me out on the show. And of course, bringing you news as much as we can.
That's right. We appreciate that stuff because, got to know, I mean, things are moving quickly down there. And, you know, I was excited because I think Brad was really optimistic on the speed of the new experiences coming to the studios. He sounded really hyped up for that.
Yeah, and he's going to be checking in with us this week from Liberty Square, talking about the new Muppet experiences there with Muppets and history and all that stuff. That's, I think it debuted on Sunday.
Yeah, I want to talk about that on Friday's show because we're going to kind of recap the 45th birthday party down at Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, and we'll kind of touch on that too. So let's save that to Friday and have some fun kicking off the weekend.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, don't forget, you can give us a follow on the social media on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Today's show, of course, it's a Wednesday, so that means it's brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. So, Ricky, what is the Disney Universe talking about this week that you can find on the app?
Well, I don't know how much you want to save for maybe Friday, but we are talking about annual passes the awesome deals that are coming out about annual passes this week. Like, seriously, I'm kind of pumped and hyped about it. Not going to lie.
I know, me too, because I got to get mine. So, yeah, let's save that for Friday. But if you have right. Theme Park News Disney Edition right now, you can get a spoiler. Just check it out. You don't have to wait for Friday to see what's going on.
That's right.
And this is a free iOS app. It's going to turn your Apple device into a Disney device. So drop by virtualmickey.com today and download these great apps. All right, well, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. Thanks again for checking in. Send your questions to Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. So for Matt and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BRGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.